Some people have the idea that suffering makes you pure and holy, you know? Suffering in and of itself doesn't make anyone pure and holy. Suffering may bring out the best in you. Suffering may bring out the worst in you. Suffering sometimes can reveal hidden sins and secret resentments. There's nothing purifying about suffering in and of itself.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us as we continue our little mini-series on heaven and hell. And Colin, why do you think that is, that so many people think that suffering will make them holy?
I'm not sure I know where that comes from entirely. It may be that the verse in Scripture in Hebrews where we're told that Christ was made perfect through suffering. What that means, of course, there is that he was made the Savior that he is because he has experienced every dimension of human difficulty in his incarnation. But of course, Christ is the Holy Son of God.
Yeah.
And it's a huge jump and a great mistake to go from there to the idea that somehow suffering is going to perfect sinners. There's only one way in which sinners can be cleansed, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he had to come. That's why he suffered,
so
that our cleansing should come through him.
Well, as we saw last time, all of us experience that feeling of being crushed. You know, Jesus did, and each and every human experiences that. And as we began to point out last time, we do need that experience of being cleansed, and everyone in heaven will have that experience of being cleansed by the blood of Christ, and one day they'll ultimately be home, and I know that's where we're going to spend some time today.
It's going to be a joy to revel in all that lies ahead for every child of God. Whatever difficulty you're going through now, the Lord wants you to know what lies ahead of you so that you can set your mind on things above, so that you can be lifted in order to face the difficulties in which you find yourself today. And you know, John on the island of Patmos was given this marvelous revelation, but it wasn't just for him. It's for us today.
Well, we are going to see what John saw. You can open your Bible and see that along with us in Revelation chapter 7. Here's Pastor Colin.
Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Bible says, who takes away the sins of the world. And when he hung on that cross, his blood was shed. And when a person comes to Christ, as you could come to Jesus Christ today if you have not come already, when a person comes to Jesus Christ in faith and in repentance, the shed blood of Jesus gets applied to that person's life, and here in the miracle of God, the shed blood of Jesus will make you clean. That's the promise of the Bible. Now, this is an extraordinary thing, because blood normally stains, doesn't it? I cut myself, blood stains. But this blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses from every stain. And these white robes then are a wonderful picture of the purity that will be yours in heaven, that belongs to every person who is in Jesus Christ. Right now, when you come to faith in Jesus, the guilt of your sin is removed. That's why there's no condemnation for you. You don't need to live in fear any longer. Right now, when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of sin is broken. Here's what that means. There is no sin, there is no temptation that you cannot overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit this week. I'll say that again. The power of sin is broken. What that means is this. There is no sin, there is no temptation that you cannot overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit this week. But friends, you don't need to be a Christian for terribly long, and you don't even need to know yourself terribly well to know that sin itself remains present in every Christian throughout our life in this world. But not forever. Not forever. We need to be washed. Now, who does the washing? Now, watch this in the Bible because the answer might surprise you. Who does the washing? Answer, we do. That's the answer here. They have washed their robes. Now, of course, Christ is the one who washes the soul. Christ and his blood is the one by whom our souls are made clean. And the Bible speaks about how Christ washes us again and again and again. But here we're told something else that all of us need to know. They have washed their robes. That means that everyone who is in heaven has done something about their condition. They saw that they needed to be washed. They realized that even at their best, their attempts at living a life that would be pleasing to God are not going to amount to very much more than filthy rags. They came to believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the means by which he takes it away is through his shed blood being applied to a person who is bound to him by faith. And therefore, they came to him. They came to him in all their guilt, and they came to him in repentance, and they came to him in faith, and they prayed like David prayed in Psalm 51. He said this, "Purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Now, here's what John is discovering. Every person in heaven has come to Jesus Christ in that way, which raises the question, have you come to Jesus Christ in this way? They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That's how they made the robes white. That's why they're in the presence of Jesus. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Is that something you have done or not? Now, at this point, you must be clear. And if you're not clear, I plead with you to become clear by coming to Jesus Christ tonight. Is this something you have done? Have you come to see your own need of a Savior? Have you come to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior that you need? Have you come to him in faith and in repentance and with whatever is in your life? And asked him to cleanse you. Ask him to make you his own. And is there the evidence in your life today that you have done this? Are you pursuing a holy life, which is the evidence that a person belongs to Jesus? Without that, what right have you got to claim that you're his? My friend, don't be passive. They washed their robes. They did not simply feel bad about themselves. They did something. They came to Jesus. Other people around you are washing their robes in the blood of Christ. Why not you? Why not you? They've been crushed, these people in heaven, and they've been cleansed. The two things you need to know about the people in heaven. And now they're at home. Verse 15, he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They're in the shelter, and the shelter is God himself. God, as it were, spreads his wings over them so that they are included and they are under his fatherly care and his protection forever and forever. Literally, this verse says, God himself spreads his tent over them. Isn't that a great picture? You go to the campsite and you spread out the tent. And the tent comes over you. You are inside. You are not outside. You're included. Jesus said that heaven is my Father's house. And if God is your Father, then heaven is your home. And there may be some times when you don't feel at home on earth. There are some folks don't feel at home in their own bodies. I'll tell you, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you will be at home in heaven. Some folks may find at times that they just don't feel completely at home, even amongst other Christians. You wonder about that. And I tell you, if you're in Jesus Christ, you will be at home in heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and those who are washed in the blood of Christ will feel at home in his presence. So here are the people. John says there's a vast, vast company of them. Now, what are they doing? What is this life? If you're washed in the blood of Christ and you finally arrive in your heavenly home, what can you anticipate there? Well, look at what it says. It's marvelous. Just these three observations. Number one, in heaven, you will serve God as you always wished you could. Verse 15, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. Friends, every Christian serves Christ, but no Christian serves Christ as we would want to serve Christ. Every Christian knows what it is to worship, but have you ever really worshiped as you would like to worship? Don't you find that there is this great conflict within you? Don't you find yourself at times asking, why is my heart so sluggish? Why is it that when the mercy and grace of God is poured out to me in such abundance that sometimes my response is so restrained, so calculating? Why is that? You know that we find in this life a conflict within ourselves, and it's always going on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we throw ourselves into serving Christ and living for Christ. We get tired. We get discouraged. We get bogged down in our unsolved problems and in our unanswered questions. And we live below the level that even in our own hearts we would want to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will not always be so. In heaven you will serve God as you always wished you could. Look at it, day and night. There's no tiredness there. And here we go through seasons of feeling distant from God. We have times when we say, oh, I long for a new and a fresh experience, a fresh touch from God. But here in heaven, you will be before his throne, and you will be with him, and you will enjoy him, and it will be forever. In heaven, you will serve Christ as you always wished you could.
Pastor Colin Smith here on Open the Bible, taking a look at the life of heaven. It's part of our message, simply called Heaven, which is part of a series called Heaven and Hell. And if you missed any part of this short two-part series on the radio or online, come and listen there. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's also free. You're going to find that at your app store. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching and be able to listen whenever it fits your schedule. And since we're talking about heaven, I want to let you know about our Heaven Bundle. For a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you the book Heaven, written by Randy Alcorn, Pastor Colin's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and then five little booklets that you can use and share with other people entitled, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? This Heaven Bundle is our thank you gift to you as you financially support Open the Bible this month. Find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
In heaven, you will serve Christ as you always wished you could. And then notice this, that in heaven, Christ will lead you into ever-increasing joy. I'll try to take this in. Look at what it says, verse 16. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them into springs of living water. Now, you may think, well, heaven is a wonderful place where I'm going to discover all kinds of marvelous things. That'd be very reasonable for you to think that. John is saying to you, it's much better than that. Because what's missing in saying heaven is a wonderful place and I'm going to discover all kinds of wonderful things? What's missing, or rather, who's missing? Jesus. And you see, at the very center of the life of heaven, what John is telling us here, the Lamb himself will be their shepherd. The active involvement of your Lord Jesus Christ, who you trust and love and worship and serve right now, the active and imminent involvement of Christ in your life. He's the shepherd. He's your shepherd now if you belong to him, and he'll be your shepherd forever. That's why the people in heaven are never hungry, verse 16. And he leads them. He feeds them. What Christ does for us on earth, he will do in new and wonderful and glorious ways in heaven. The Lamb will be their shepherd. And notice what it says. He guides them to springs of living water. In other words, the great joy of heaven will be that the Lord Jesus himself will lead you into ever-increasing delight. He'll lead you into it. So what is being described here is not a static kind of experience, but a living relationship and a life of ongoing new fresh discovery. That's why you can never be bored in heaven. And this joy will go on increasing forever. You say, how is that possible? Well, just think about this. I can't explain how it's possible, but think about this. You take out a photograph album or you review your photographs there on your computer. And you look at things that happened years ago, and they were wonderful things. And even looking at the pictures of them, your memory is stirred, and you still derive joy from things that happened a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. They're part of the fund of joy that God has poured into the richness of your life here in this world. Now, says Jonathan Edwards, do you think that it would be any less in heaven? There is an accumulation of ever fresh discoveries of the joys and the glories of God and of his new creation, Jesus Christ leading you into ever unfolding new delights of his glory. And Edwards asked this question, think about what that will be like after a million, million ages, cumulatively. And then I quote, their knowledge will increase to eternity. And if their knowledge, then their holiness. For as they increase in the knowledge of God, they will see more of his beauty. And the more they see of his beauty, the more they will love him. And the more they love God, the more delight and the more happiness they will have in him. You see what he's describing? He is describing exponentially increasing joy. What will that be after a million, million ages? In heaven, you will serve God as you always wished you could. In heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, your shepherd, will lead you into ever-increasing joy. And in heaven, lastly, all your wounds will finally be healed. Verse 17, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear. Notice that? It's one word I underlined. You want to underline just about all the words in this passage. Every tear. And literally what this says is every tear out of their eye, as if not only were the tears being removed, but the ducts as well. The source that produces the tears is now being wiped out of their eyes. That's why I say here in heaven, all your wounds will finally be healed. All that produces tears in this world, as far as you are concerned, the baggage that you carried and you sought to make progress by faith through your life in this world, but in some sense there was baggage that you carried and you never quite completely shook it off. No baggage there. It's gone. The temptations that you battled, you made progress, sometimes you had great failures that caused you such disappointment. No battles now. The pain that you suffered, the questions you faced. And John sees the glory of heaven and the presence of Jesus and the glory of the new creation. But like a drumbeat alongside the description of that glory, you have in the scriptures this almost relentless statement of what will not be there. No death, no mourning, no sins to confess, no temptations to overcome, no sickness to suffer, no depression to bring darkness, no pain to endure, no crosses to carry, no fears for you to face, all your questions answered, all your doubts resolved. These people have been crushed. But look at them now. That's the point. You look at them. Because if you have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not be long until you are there too. And that's what gives you strength to endure when you're stuck on an island prison or whatever it is that is the most crushing experience of your life today. God will wipe away all tears from your eyes also. Look at what lies ahead of you, and it will help you to live today. Donald MacLeod, one more quote, reminds us that heaven is our Father's house. And he says this, I found it helpful. What a grief it must be to God that so few of his children want to go home. Here we are in enemy territory amid the sufferings of the present time, beset by sin and seeing our Father's name dishonored all around us, and yet we want to stay. He recalls Paul's longing to depart and to be with Christ, which you remember he says in Philippians is better by far. And then Paul says, yet I've got to be building and I've got to be ready as someone who's been given responsibilities, as all of us have been given responsibilities by God in this world. I've got to be ready to stay and continue and to serve the church until the day when he calls me home. And MacLeod says, this surely is the healthy Christian attitude. Willing to stay for the sake of the work still to be done, but longing to get home. Willing to stay for the sake of the work that still needs to be done, the work that God still has for you to do, but in your heart of heart with a taste of heaven, longing to be home. Serving Christ will be your great delight in heaven. So find joy by serving him now. Following Christ will lead you into springs of living water in heaven. So find life by following Christ now. Christ will be the one who wipes every tear from your eye. So find comfort by drawing near to Jesus Christ now.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Heaven. It's part of a short two-part series on heaven and hell. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in this short series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you our Heaven Bundle. That includes the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. Colin, your book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, plus five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? But Colin, what makes Randy Alcorn's book on heaven so special?
Oh, well, that is the classic book, I think, on heaven. It's certainly my go-to book. It's beautifully set out with questions that people are actually asking, and it applies the scripture to our minds and to our hearts. It's the kind of book that reading it will stimulate your anticipation of heaven. It will help you to have something of a sense of what's very, very hard for us to picture and to imagine. I mean, he gets into questions like, you know, will heaven be boring? Will there be animals in heaven? And what about relationships in heaven? You know, knowing each other in heaven, what will relationships actually be like? These are fascinating and important questions. And, you know, the Bible says that we should set our minds on things above. We're to think about heavenly things because that will inspire us to live the Christian life well now. And Randy Alcorn's book on heaven is a book that really does help us to anticipate the joys that are lying ahead.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this Randy Alcorn book as a part of our Heaven Bundle. It's not only this book, but also Pastor Colin's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? A gift of any amount, and that is our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You want to set your mind on things above, but you're not sure where to start? Find out next time on Open the Bible.